This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Wednesday, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking all things RFK Jr. confirmation hearings. And of course, there's day two tomorrow. Ugh. I don't know how much more of his BS I can take. It's pretty terrible. I myself have had an afternoon of misspeaks, and I want to thank my friend Lou Ann and Wanderoos, as well as Eric in Wauwatosa. Who else? A couple of other people let me know. I keep saying that Caroline Kennedy was RFK's sister. She's not. They're cousins. And I also then, of course, misspoke and said RFK was a president's son. He was a presidential candidate's son, a U.S. attorney general's son, and the nephew of, course, JFK. Huh. Some days just the mouth and the brain don't work so good together. I appreciate everybody letting me know. Also want to give a little bit of love. Matt from Middleton texting in this. Trump's second term is the end of American leadership and favor in the world. Europe and Latin America are talking to China now. Were the eggs, are they worth decades of decline and isolation? I don't think so, Matt. And I think the American public is going to get smart real quick about what Donald Trump actually stands for. You know, we look at RFK's nomination, of course, within the context of Trump's withdrawal from the World Health Organization, pulling back from the climate accords, you know, his denigration of NATO on a near daily basis, the fact that he derides the United Nations. In all of these sectors, right, whether you're talking about pure diplomacy, or you're talking about diplomacy to achieve better world and public health outcomes, to stop the next COVID outbreak or make it less lethal and deadly, whether we're talking about trying to keep foreign adversaries from stealing our nation's companies' secrets. All of this requires power and influence and the ability to apply leverage on a global scale, both amongst allies for their cooperation and support, both militarily, financially, and as a policy matter, but also with our adversaries. And the more the U.S. retreats into this old saw of isolationism, the more the greater a vacuum is created in all of those sectors, in the world diplomatic order itself. And as nature abhors a vacuum, that vacuum will be filled by some of our most powerful adversaries that themselves command great amount of natural resources and or political influence, geopolitical dominance in certain of the world's areas that are seeing very consistent unrest, as well as vast amounts of natural resources and economic might and power. Who might that be? Well, in no particular order, China, Russia, Iran, North Korea. Yes, North Korea is deprived of natural resources, but it has a nuclear arsenal, right? Like, this doesn't work for American interests, either in the medium or long term. Might feel good short term, but it will not work. And abandoning our role as an international and global leader, whether it comes to science and technology, addressing climate change, diplomacy, the project of peace and human dignity in the world, all of this, or of course, public health and the World Health Organization, all of this makes us more vulnerable, not stronger, despite what the pseudo strongman may tell you. Thanks so much for that comment. Matt from Middleton, I really appreciate it. Steve from Milwaukee chiming in. Russia's already eyeing Alaska. Yeah, well, if Trump can, you know, take Greenland and rename the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America, why wouldn't Russia start eyeing additional territories, maybe even territories that include, you know, some of Alaska? Of course, I would expect that to be met with military might. But again, if Donald Trump has no respect for sovereign borders and boundaries, why should any other country? Let's get back to RFK. I wanted to share a bit of Elizabeth Warren's Q&A. This still sits in what I'm going to call pillar one of my set of objections to RFK. She absolutely housed him today on conflicts of interest. And frankly, the fact that RFK is getting richer off of his vaccine mumbo jumbo. Let's take a listen to cut 17.
But you and I both know there's another way to make money. So, Mr. Kennedy, will you also agree that you won't take any compensation from any lawsuits against drug companies while you are secretary and for 4 years afterwards?
Well, I'll certainly commit to that while I'm secretary. But I do want to clarify something because you're making me sound like a shill. I put together that case. I did the Science Day presentation to the judge on that case to get it into court,
Mr.
the Daubert hearing.
Mr. Kennedy, it's just a really simple question.
Yeah,
you've taken in $2.5 million. I want to know if you will commit right now that not only will you not go to work for drug companies, you won't go to work suing the drug companies and taking your rake out of that while you're a secretary and for 4 years after. It's just...
I'll commit to not taking any fees from drug companies while I'm secretary.
No, I'm asking about fees from suing drug companies. Will you agree not to do that?
You're asking me to not sue drug companies.
No,
and
no,
I'm not going to agree
to
that,
Senator. Sue drug companies as much as you want.
I'm not going to agree to not sue drug companies or anybody.
What a jerk. Of course, that's not what she's saying. She's just saying, don't get rich off of it. Next cut, more of Elizabeth Warren putting RFK to the test.
Kennedy can kill off access to vaccines and make millions of dollars while he does it. Kids might die, but Robert Kennedy can keep cashing in.
Senator, I support vaccines. I support the childhood schedule. I will do that. The only thing I want is good science, and that's it.
Oh. How about then say you won't make money off what you do as Secretary of HHS?
Ah, yes. Let's explore that statement that I support vaccines and the childhood schedule, because this is pillar two. He's a liar and a con man and a grifter that's out for money and, of course, the attention and power. This is what he said when he was interviewed with John Stossel just a couple years ago. It's pretty basic. It's just a question which he answers with absolute clarity. Let's take a listen, cut 21.
And you still say that autism is caused by vaccines?
Yeah, autism is caused by vaccines.
Yeah. So, were you lying then, sir, or are you lying now before Congress? Someone who says a blanket statement like autism is caused by vaccines has no business running the Department of Health and Human Services. And if it wasn't clear enough that this is all a big grift, take a listen to this. Vaccines, yeah, don't do that for your kids, but of course, he did for his own.
Next if up. Your kids were young... Now, would you give them the measles, the mumps vaccine?
No.
Yeah, but they're not. And so that's not a real choice. He just gets to, you know, trot out more of his baloney. The guy doesn't tell the truth. He doesn't tell the truth about nearly anything, including the fact that he personally went to Samoa after an accident relating to the measles vaccine. It was an accident caused by human error. They knew exactly what happened, and two kids died as a result of a human error in putting together the vaccine compound. That happened in 2018. He then went to Samoa, invited there by a Samoan anti-vax activist. And he sat in meetings with anti-vax activists, one of whom said that those meetings were, quote, profoundly monumental for the anti-vaccine movement. He met with the prime minister of Samoa, and they discussed vaccines, which he confirmed. And after a measles outbreak occurred 4 months after his visit there, where 83 people died, many of whom were children and infants unvaccinated, he disclaimed any responsibility, moral or otherwise. But not only that, when that measles outbreak occurred, he sent a letter to the Prime Minister of Samoa, and in that letter claimed that the outbreak was caused by the measles vaccine itself. But let's take a listen to the garbage he was spewing today on Capitol Hill about his involvement in that Samoan tragedy in 2019.
I went there nothing to do with vaccines. I went there to introduce a medical informatics system. I would digitalize records in Samoa and make health delivery much more efficient. I never gave any public statement about vaccines. You cannot find a single Samoan who will say, I didn't get a vaccine because of Bobby Kennedy. I went in June of 2019. The measles outbreak started in August. Oh, clearly I had nothing to do with the measles.
Yeah, except you did. You stir up all the misinformation, all the lies, you create a hysteria, and people die, and then you say, well, no one would actually say they didn't get a vaccine because of Bobby Kennedy. They won't name check me. But you created the information environment and swamp that, of course, you profit off of, that allows these lies and hysteria to take hold. You, Mr. Kennedy, are responsible for the information swamp, this skepticism of vaccines, not single-handedly, there's many that are profiteering off of this, but now you want to lead the Department of Health and Human Services? I say, no siree. Folks, we're going to go back to the phones when we get back. Fred from Cottage Grove, I see you're going to be up next. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I also have what I can only consider to be an actual schooling of RFK today by Senator Bennett. I want to take more of your comments, texts, and questions. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. We'll be back in just a flash.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back. If you are rejoining us, my name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking about the grifter, also known as Robert F. Kennedy Jr. His nomination hearings occurring today and will continue tomorrow. He's unfit by virtually any measure. I have three buckets. First bucket is he's morally unfit. Laundry list of things that just... No, you don't get this job. You don't get to be a screw-up for the vast majority of your life, do absolutely horrible things, respond without any sort of substance to meaningful allegations against you, and get to run, public health in the United States. Not how it should work. Secondly, He peddles in dangerous lies to enrich himself and refuses to commit to even the most basic conflict of interest avoidance mechanisms, like not profiteering off of lawsuits against companies that he may be responsible for working with or potentially engaging enforcement actions against while you're DHHS secretary. Terrible. So let's go to the phones, 855-757-8552-4842. Fred from Cottage Grove, thank for your patience. Sir, you're up next.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. No, I'm tired of the softball questions. They get an answer, but they don't follow up.
Yeah.
You know, it's like his cousin just mentioned, too, today or the other day that he's vaccinated his kids.
Yep.
But yet now he wouldn't do it again. But well, he's already done it.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous, Fred. I completely take your point. I have a hard time watching Senate confirmation hearings because I'm screaming at the television. And I'm just going to say this. You notice how senators are really old. And I'm not an ageist. I think you can serve at absolutely any age. But some of them, it's clear if like the script that their staffers wrote in front of them, if it doesn't go exactly according to plan, they're not able to follow up. They're not able to counter the baloney and garbage that's getting thrown their way by some of these candidates. Now, some senators are quite good at it. Bernie Sanders, I think Elizabeth Warren followed up pretty well. And I think Senator Bennett did a capital job at this. Let's take a listen to this pointed questioning. I think more senators need to take a page out of Senator Bennett's book. Let's take a listen.
Say that COVID-19 was a genetically engineered bioweapon that targets black and white people, but spared Ashkenazi Jews and Chinese people.
I didn't say it was deliberately targeted. I just quoted an NIH-funded, an NIH-published study.
Did you say that it targets black and white people, but spared Ashkenazi Jews?
I quoted a study, Your Honor. I quoted an NIH study that showed that.
I'll take that as a yes. I have to move on, Mr. I have to move on. Did you say that Lyme disease is highly likely a materially engineered bioweapon? I made sure I put in the highly likely. Did you say Lyme disease is a highly likely militarily engineered bioweapon?
I probably did say that.
Did you say that?
And that's what the developer of Lyme
disease
said.
I want all of our colleagues to hear it, Mr. Kennedy. I want them to hear it. You said yes. Did you say that exposure to pesticides causes children to become transgender?
No, I never said that.
Okay, I have the record that I'll give to the chairman, and he can make his judgment about what you said. Did you write in your book, and it's undeniable, that African AIDS is an entirely different disease from Western AIDS? Yes or no, Mr. Kennedy?
I'm not sure if I made that.
Okay, I'll give it to the chairman, Mr. Kennedy, and my final question. Did you say on a podcast, and I quote, "I wouldn't leave it, abortion, to the states. My belief is we should leave it to the woman. We shouldn't have the government involved, even if it's full term." Did you say that, Mr. Kennedy?
Senator, I believe that every abortion is a tragedy.
Did you say it, Mr. Kennedy?
This matters.
It doesn't matter what you come here and say that isn't true, that's not reflective of what you really believe, that you haven't said over decade after decade after decade, because unlike other jobs we're confirming around this place, this is a job where it is life and death.
Yeah. Senator Bernie Sanders also asked the nominee a number of questions about his flip-flop on his stance relating to abortion, which was apparently some sort of epiphany he stumbled over after Donald Trump trounced his ass in a few primaries, and he decided all of a sudden that maybe trying to angle for an appointment in the next Trump administration would be his best shot at what? More grift, more attention, and more power. For shame. He's a noted AIDS denialist. This is part of it, that there's these different strains of AIDS. The man has no shame. Has no shame. And he had the audacity today to literally lie repeatedly about the things that he's said in the past and claims to now be pro-vaccine, to support the childhood vaccination schedule, though he has done everything in his power for the last decade plus to undermine that very vaccination schedule, to sow and create more doubt in the minds of Americans and people globally over vaccines that have saved hundreds of millions of lives. He is unfit by any measure to be the Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services. And it's also kind of interesting. You know that guy, Rupert Murdoch, that owns Fox News? He also thinks that RFK is unfit to serve as the DHHS Secretary. I can't believe I'm going to say this, and please don't quote me out of context. But on that point, I agree with Rupert Murdoch. And with that, folks, we're going to turn a page because it is Wednesday. It is hump day. And on hump days at 3:30, I've got a great segment called Over the Hump and Trump, because we all need a break from the politics. We're going to take one of those breaks. We come back in our next segment with my very good friend and chef extraordinaire, Gregory Leone from Amelinda here in Milwaukee. He's been nominated for most outstanding chef in the U.S. We're going to talk to Greg and about how food brings us together when we come back after these brief messages here on The Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com. How come you're always such a fussy young man? Don't want no Captain Crunch, don't want no Raisin Bran. Well, don't you know that other kids are starving in Japan? So eat it, just eat it.
Ah, yes, everybody. It is Wednesday. It is 3:30, and so it is time for Over the Hump and Trump. I kicked off the year sharing with you all some of my intentions, because I don't do resolutions. Those never get done, and then I feel shame and guilt about it, and that doesn't help anybody, least of which me. My intentions for the year: to move more, connect more, create more, play more, laugh more. There's one other one I'm forgetting about. It'll come to me in a second. But in the spirit of creating and connecting more, one of the things that I love that always helps me to do exactly that is to eat food, cook it, enjoy it, and share it with friends. And I love to eat the food that my next guest makes for all of his guests at his amazing restaurant, Amelinda. His name is Gregory Leone. Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show, Greg. Thanks so much for making time.
Hi, Maggie. Thanks for the invitation.
It's so nice to have you back, and we get to celebrate your most recent and second nomination by the James Beard Foundation for the National Outstanding Chef Award, which is wonderful. Your second year in a row being nominated for Outstanding Chef nationwide after 2 years best of nominations for Best Chef Midwest. All fabulous, Greg. Congrats again.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I hope it puts lots of butts in your chairs. Tell everybody what Amelinda's cuisine is like and how they can find your restaurant and make a reservation if they'd like to check out some of your amazing food.
Cool. So it does put a lot of butts in the chairs, so it makes me super happy. Also, real quick, before I tell anybody about us, I just want to throw this out there. When we get these nominations, it's not just a reflection of the work that I do, but it's a reflection of my entire team. So congrats to them, too, for working very hard. So we are a small, independent Spanish and Portuguese restaurant, we're inspired by Spain and Portugal. We're located at 315 East Wisconsin Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. We're open from 5 to 9, Wednesday through Saturday. And you can reach us by phone at 414-346-3469. I think I never called the restaurant. Or you can go to opentable.com and search for us. Or you can go to our website, amilinda.com.
And it is AMILINDA. I was trying to email you, Greg, and put the wrong spelling.
Yeah, we send it AMA.
Yes.
You're not the only one.
Very embarrassing. Chef Greg, one of the things that I think is really amazing about the cuisine that you do is that it does pull from a Spanish and Portuguese inspirational point, but there is very much this cultural intersection that I feel when I eat your food, that it's coming not just from a Spanish and Portuguese inspiration, but that you're pulling from all kinds of different places and all the foods that you have eaten. And it's interesting, whenever I'm in your restaurant, there are all kinds of different folks in your restaurant. It is a very welcoming place. I have always believed, I call it the Last Supper theory, whether or not you are a Christian and believe in Jesus Christ, here's the deal. When they told an epic story that has survived for centuries, what was the linchpin of the story? That on the last time that he knew he was going to be with his friends, he sat down, broke bread, ate and drank together. Greg, how is food a cultural and intersectional experience for you and the guests that come to your restaurant? Do you feel food bringing people together?
These are hard-hitting questions. I wasn't prepared for this one. Yes, I mean, food does bring people together. You know, a lot of it has to do with the person itself, with the culture they're coming from. There's religion involved. You know, I was extremely lucky that my mom's side of the family is Jewish and my dad's Latin from Venezuela. So those are two cultures that, you know, it's like you can't get three of us together and there not be food involved. So it's always been a thread through my life. Like, food's always been there. And it does bring people together. You know, when you celebrate a birthday, or you celebrate an anniversary, or you just want to catch up with a friend, what do you normally go do? You go to a restaurant, you go and eat. And we're glad that we can have a little space that people feel comfortable and love enough that they make it the center of their eating experience.
It's such a huge part of Wisconsin culture. I have never showed up at a friend's house empty-handed because that's how I was taught being from Wisconsin.
You show up empty-handed, you're rude.
Yeah, that's right. You got to bring both booze and food whenever you're visiting someone, not just one or the other. It's both, got to check both boxes. And folks, if you're hearing a little background noise, that's because Greg is actually working. He is in his restaurant. I'm Melinda, while doing the interview, they're getting ready for dinner service. Greg, I wanted to ask you about a really special thing that you've got going on February 17th in your restaurant. It is your sixth year of celebrating what you call Tables Across Borders. I wanted to give you the chance, Greg, to tell people what that's all about.
Well, thank you. So Tables Across Borders is a program that started, I think it's like 2019. And my friend Kai Mishlop, who used to work with refugee agencies here in Milwaukee, contacted a mutual friend and she said, you know, I go to these people's houses to help them with stuff and there's always food and they're amazing cooks and I want Milwaukee to experience that. So do you think some chefs would want to work with me? So my friend Shay, he put us in contact. And so what it is we invite refugees, either ones that have just arrived or, you know, we've got a lady who's been here for years now. And they come to Alma Linda on the night that we're normally closed. They do all the cooking. They prepare the food of their heritage. And then we sell tickets to the event. And then 100% of the money raised goes to the person cooking. So if they just got here, then they've got a little bit of extra cash and helps them, like, buy stuff for their apartment or their new home, or, you know, whatever they might do with the money. So it's been a fantastic experience, you know, for us to see how people cook in other countries and how they use maybe the same ingredient that we use in different ways. It's been amazing. For the guests, they get to eat something that they probably would have never gotten to eat. You know, on the 17th, we're welcoming Tahani back, and she is from Syria. And her story is pretty incredible. They spent many years in a refugee camp. This is, I think, her fourth time coming back to Alma Linda because her food is just so good. Like, there's good Middle Eastern food in Milwaukee, but this stuff is insane. So, you know, we get to eat some cool food. We get to learn a little bit, and then we get to help somebody else.
And that's what it's all about. Again, these opportunities that we have to learn about each other through food, right, are really special. And tables across borders, I think, is the literal embodiment of that. Where can people sign up if they want to participate in Tables Across Borders this year? And again, folks, that's on February 17th. It will be at Amelinda in the 300 block of Wisconsin Avenue. How can they sign up and get involved?
So to sign up for the dinner, so first I would recommend everybody to go to amelinda.com and sign up for our newsletter. We're really responsible about our newsletters, and we don't send them out all the time, only when we got important stuff to share with our guests. So you can do that. Follow us on Instagram at AmelindaMKE, or you can follow me at Chef Greg Leon. They can go to Open Table, go to the website, search for Amelinda. And when our page comes up under the experience tab, you will see it listed. It's $75. That does not include tax or gratuity, but the food is well worth it. It is so good. And so there's going to be four this session. We're doing the first one. And as soon as things calm down a little bit, I'll get the other three up on the website.
So there's going to be three Tables Across Borders this year, folks. Four total, in addition to the one that's coming up on February. No. Well, let's get it right.
Three plus one equals four.
Yes.
And two of them will be here at Amelinda. The other two will be at Trickleby Cafe, because Trickleby Cafe has also been a participant, and they will cook over there also. But all of the tickets will be on sale on Amelinda's Open Table page, even if the dinner is at another restaurant.
Fabulous. Thanks so much for that, Greg. Again, Tables Across Borders, the first dinner of 2025, kicking off on February 17th. Check out Amelinda, AMILINDA, on Open Table if you would like to get involved. Greg, I wanted to ask you a question about folks when they're dining out. And I wanted to start with the challenge that I think people encounter sometimes. What happens if you order something and you don't like it? Like, you get adventurous, you try something new, and you don't care for it. What is the best course of action if somebody finds themselves in that position?
I am so glad you asked that question. Hopefully we can get this answer out to the masses. So whether you've gone to a restaurant and you ordered something and you just didn't like it because you were trying something new, or you just didn't like it because you didn't like the flavor profiles, or it wasn't prepared correctly. Always, always tell the people, the server will get the manager, tell somebody why you are sitting in that chair. I, as a restaurant owner, my ultimate goal is for you to leave happy and to be like, okay, I spent $150 on dinner tonight, but it was well spent, and I want to come back, and I like these people, and the service was great, and the food was great. But we're all human, and something that you might love, I might not like. So if you're having a bad time, just say something, because we ultimately are going to do whatever we can to make sure that when you walk out that door, at least if you're not leaving happy, at least you feel like you've been heard and you've tried. And it's so frustrating because, you know, we'll have people come in here and they'll try something and they didn't like it. But instead of saying something and letting us remake it or make them another dish, or I will take it off your bill. Like, the last thing I want is for you to pay for something you didn't like. They'll go online and then they'll leave a really crappy review. And, you know, what people need to understand is that review doesn't just affect me. It affects the people that work here. You know, you are messing with people's livelihood. So nobody's going to confront you. It's not going to be a fight at the table if you say something. We would rather you say something, because then we can try to make it better. But once you're out that door, it just looks like you want to complain.
Yeah, don't go online behind your keyboard. Let people make it right. I don't know any one of us that bats 1,000 in our jobs every day, right? And we all want the opportunity to try to fix it and make it right.
And it's funny that you should ask the question. We had somebody in here on Saturday. Yeah. A gentleman came in, showed up, was rude to the host because he wanted to sit at a counter. There was no spaces. He asked the host to work his magic. The host is not a magician, so he couldn't help him. So he finally sat down. He wanted the one entree that we had run out of, and it was like 8:15 by now. So we had run out of the steak. We sold like 30 of them that day. He wanted one. We're like, sorry, we're not. We have everything else. He ordered a bunch of food. He ordered a bottle of wine. The only thing we charged him for was a bottle of wine. He drank half the bottle of wine, didn't touch any of the food, and left. Him and his companion. The next day, pops up a one-star review, and he's just like, you know, ripping into us. But nowhere does he say, hey, they didn't charge me for any of the food. Hey, they only charged me for the wine. You know, all these other things that we tried to do. And he left us a 1-star on food. So I did respond and I said, you can't really say anything about our food because you didn't eat any of it. So.
Well, I will just say this. I was in there with some dear, dear friends of mine this past week, Gregory, when I knew that you were coming on the air and I wanted to celebrate your amazing cuisine. I had something that I haven't had for years. I think since I was on the Iberian Peninsula, I had beef tongue. It was flipping great. I am a salad aficionado. I had your pear salad and the endive or endive, depending on who the heck you're talking to. And they both were fabulous. Thank you for an amazing, memorable meal. My three dinner companions, everyone was in the clean plate club. There wasn't a morsel left. Amazing service. Such a wonderful experience. So I'm going to leave you with this last question before we finish up today, Greg.
Sure.
When you have an amazing experience at a restaurant, what should someone do? Is it about the big tips? Do you tell someone? Do you need to go do the reviews? What should we be doing? Should we buy a round for the kitchen staff? What do we do?
Well, no, I mean, it depends on the restaurant, obviously. You don't have to buy us a round. I'm not a big drinker. We're more of the green family at this restaurant, if you understand.
Yes.
So, a nice tip is always appreciated. The servers, you know, we'll always love that. And then online, if you have a really good experience, go online and just say something. Say, hey, this was great. Those are the two things. But you know what? The biggest thing you can do is come back and see us.
I can't wait to come back and see you and everyone at Amo Linda. It was an amazing experience for me and all of my friends. And I think I'm going to talk them all into arranging their schedules so we can be there for Tables Across Borders.
Yay.
What an important event coming up on February 17th. My congratulations to you, Greg, and every single person that touches the food and helps make the experience what it is at Amo Linda. You can check out Greg's restaurant. Just go to Open Table, search for Amo Linda. That's AMILINDA. Make a rezo. Check out the amazing Portuguese and Spanish inspired cuisine there. My best to you and everyone, Greg.
Thank you so much.
Take care, friend. When we come back, folks, I'm going to give you a little one to grow on and some words of inspiration from Tim Kaine. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Have a big dinner. A light snack. If you don't like it, you can't send it back. Just eat it.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Should you go for dinner? I mean, obviously, go to Amo Linda. My big thanks to my last guest, Greg Leon, executive chef and owner of a very small independent restaurant in downtown Milwaukee called Amo Linda. Greg, nominated for National Outstanding Chef by the James Beard Foundation, his second year in a row for that nomination. I used that opportunity or his nomination for the catalyst to talk with Greg today for our installment of Over the Hump and Trump, because I do think food is one of those great connecting moments that can help bring us all together. And we need more of that, not less. It also comes in the great Wisconsin tradition of do not ever, no, not ever, show up to a friend's joint empty-handed. I know I never do. I wanted to end today's show with some sound from Tim Kaine. He was on the floor yesterday addressing Donald Trump's, enticement, bribe, maybe, if you want to, that he laid out for federal workers, which basically was like, resign and I'll pay you for the next 8 months and you don't have to work, which I would never rely on personally. And Tim Kaine took it up pretty directly. I thought we should take a listen. And then I'm going to give you my one to grow on and hopefully a word of hope and inspiration to leave us this afternoon. Let's take a listen to Senator Tim Kaine.
And they received an email that said, from the administration, if you tender your resignation by next Friday, we will guarantee you payment through the end of September, whether or not you show up for work. So tender your resignation, and then, boy, it's just going to be a gravy train. You're just going to get paid for 7 months without working. The president has no authority to make that offer. There's no budget line item to pay people who are not showing up for work. This is a guy who made this promise to contractors again and again and again when he was a private business guy. Oh, come work for me on my casino. Come work for me in a hotel. We're going to do a handshake. We're going to do a contract. The contractor does the work and then finds out they get stiffed. So my message to federal employees who receive this is, yeah, the president has tried to terrorize you for about a week and then gives you a little sweetheart offer. If you resign in the next week, we're just going to pay you for doing nothing for the next 7 months. Don't be fooled. He's tricked hundreds of people with that offer. If you accept that offer and resign, he'll stiff you just like he stiffed the contractors. He doesn't have any authority to do this. Do not be fooled by this guy. You were here before he was here, and you'll be here after he was here. Show up for work, be diligent, serve Americans every day, make their life better, answer their phone call, give them an answer, track down their constituent call. Don't be fooled by a fake offer that because he's terrorized you in the last week, it would be easy to just resign now and get a check for 7 months, because I can tell you, that promise is worth nothing.
Folks, that was Tim Kaine addressing Donald Trump's offer. I guess we can call it an offer that he has no power, authority, or budgetary appropriation to, you know, pay federal workers who resign for 8 months for doing nothing. This is not a thing. But where Tim Kaine got by the end of his, I don't know, appeal to federal employees is where I want to leave us all today. If you've been listening to the show for some time, you know that I served a federal appeals court judge as his elbow clerk, a two-time Reagan-appointed Article III judge. I was an assistant city attorney for the city of Milwaukee for many years. I then helped run the city of Milwaukee's 401k plan. It's a 453B or a 457 plan when you're in the public sector, but most people know it as a 401k plan. I then spent nearly 8 years as Milwaukee County's chief legal officer, so I've spent a long time in public service. So there's two things I want to leave everybody with this afternoon. And the first is a plea to all of my fellow public servants, those of you who show up every day in good faith, who take the oaths, if you took one, very seriously to serve the American people, who do their jobs without letting their personal political beliefs get in the way of doing their jobs, who truly are public servants, those who serve you and me and every resident and citizen of the jurisdiction that they work for. And I want to start by saying to you, please keep going. There are far more of you than there are of people willing to sell their good name, their professionalism, and their honor to the highest bidder or the bidder who may never pay simply for more attention or power. Please keep going. And to all of you listening who may have served the public sector in any form and who continue to do so today, I want to say thank you. Your service is appreciated, and it is more necessary now than ever. Last, I want to say to all of us, please have faith. The good public servants at every level of government, I promise you, will continue to do their good work as they have for many years. And while we can always do better to be more efficient and more effective, to improve our programs and processes, the people, the human beings, your neighbors and friends and family members who work in these jobs will do it best. So take heart, Wisconsin and America. The good public servants, they're at the job.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.